Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rodri, mistake. Poipier. Kane! He's done it! It's on record! And he's got it against the champions! And now Harry Kane's name stands alone. The greatest scorer in this club's history is one of Spurs' own. Goal 267 from icon to mortal.
Welcome back to the Harry Kane podcast. That's what it's going to be known as today. And joining me is no other than the dream team, the N17 Live lads. It's Rob Daly and Ben Haynes. How are you doing?
Good, mate. How are you? I mean, great after yesterday or Sunday, whenever it was.
Yeah, it's 2 days ago, Ben. You're losing your mind.
It feels like time stood still a bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Ever since Harry Kane scored. With the exception of that horrible period of what was it, like 70-odd minutes of waiting for the full-time whistle, it does feel like we've just been in this really lovely afterglow. What's it, where you're just sort of soaking up every last bit of Harry Kane content.
We're in year one of our Lord and Saviour Harry Kane. That's what it is now. It's the Kane calendar is what we're going by nowadays.
A.K.A. after Kane.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But how are you getting on, lads? Because I mean, the only what I've got on my running order here is Harry Kane, fucking hell, you know.
The
way I would say this is, look, this has been on the horizon for a while. Him breaking Jimmy Greaves' record, we've all known that this was coming, barring some sort of awful kind of injury or something like that. But we knew this was coming. But it feels like. The full gravity of it, and this might explain some of that blur, the full gravity of it, I honestly don't feel that I was fully prepared for, you know, because I've been just getting all the content in my veins. And like, Rob, you and Clive Allen's split screen, you know, that's been the kind of the highlight for a lot of people this week. Just seeing all that, seeing the emotion of this whole moment, like I say, I feel totally unprepared for it, even though I knew it was coming. I even feel quite choked up talking about it now. It's pathetic. I mean, what was it? We'll start with you, Rob. I mean, like that video. Come on, please. Like, give us some insight into that, mate, because it's, you know, it's the anthem of Spurs Twitter right now.
No, it's been. First of all, use your pod as a vehicle to say thank you, because my Twitter's a mess. Like I think I've had thousands of messages now. Like. Quote tweets, tweet the whole shebang, and I've only got Twitter. I just got an Instagram the other day. I've only got Twitter. I don't know what else. So it's thank you everybody who sent me nice messages. First of all, I can't reply to everyone because it's like it pops up on other people's feeds and it's annoying. But I am so grateful for all the nice messages. Bit of insight into the video itself. We didn't know that was being recorded, so the club spoke about doing it for the North London Derby, and. It was like you and Clive are working together for the first time, and I was a little hesitant about it because it's like a bit of a distraction. It's interference. There's a camera already there because I do bits into the N17 show from the gantry, and then the game. That's why I'm being such like a silly buttons in the clip because I don't know there's a camera. I didn't know they were recording, so I'm pointing and pumping my fists about, and it made me cringe first time I saw it in a way, you know, but. But that's the honest to God truth. And then at the end of the game, they said, oh, we've clipped that up. And I was like, oh, no. And then I went down to the gallery and everyone had lost their mind for it and was like, we've got to put this out. And then I was like, Clive, what do you reckon? And he didn't mind at all. And then but I didn't know it. You know, you'd swear by the reaction that I won the ball off Rodri. But I'm so grateful. It's been nice. And I'm really glad that people felt I sort of did it. Justice.
I loved seeing Clive doing the pogo hopping next year as the goal goes in. Like, you just see exactly. His genuine excitement of it all. It's amazing.
Well, that's almost probably proof that we didn't know that that was the plan. We didn't know. We were just authentically in it, and then probably that's probably worked out for the best. That it was just really how me and him were reacting was just. And I'm also grateful that they went on and won the game, but especially for Harry, in terms of, I was always worried that the goal, he'd score a goal, break the record, and it would be buried beneath a defeat or something like that. You know, there was always this plan, especially for the home games, that he would have this on-field ceremony thing. And it couldn't have been, you couldn't have, unless it happened against Arsenal and supposed to beat Arsenal, blah, 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 it couldn't have been better, could it? It was like a dream or something.
That's it. I mean, a lot of the talk, a lot of the kind of the apprehension and the jokes about it have been kind of like, look, let's just give City 6 points. It's fine. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
After Kane broke the record, I thought, actually, you know what? Let's just forget about them for today. Like, this is, it was his day, you know? And like you say, Robbie, it would have been pretty kind of, it would have been a different kind of vibe, wouldn't it? Post-game, if he'd broken the record, but we'd lost 3-1 to Man City, you know?
Not quite side note, but it wouldn't have felt the same. It was all perfect. And he was, you know, Ben and I spoke to him on N17 after, but you could just see he was so, like, giddy by his standards, just so happy, just, like, glowing with joy. And when he embraced life before we went on air, it was just so, you didn't see it on camera, but it was just so lovely. These two, like, iconic scorers for the club. Clive so happy for him, and Harry so happy to see Clive.
Yeah, he really was, wasn't he?
It was nice, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because this is what I wanted to ask you is that, did he seem different? Did it seem... Because the thing with Harry Kane is, and this is partly what makes him so great, he is a man of few words, and he does seem to be the guy that he's just like, great, I've done that, but I'm looking to the next game now. But do you think in this little moment, in this instance... It seemed to really dawn on him what he'd actually achieved, right?
I thought from his celebration, you could see that. I thought from his celebration that it wasn't the same kind of like jump in the air, do the little fist pump, kiss his hand, and then on to the next. It was kind of like he was just taking it all in, which is so lovely. I mean, it was, as Rob said afterwards, when we chatted to him, he's usually, I mean, you know this, Jack, because you've done plenty of stuff with him in the past. He's a total pro.
Yeah,
he's a lovely guy. He's a total pro. He's everything you kind of want a footballer to be that plays for your club. But this one was just a bit different. He just, like Rob said, he was just glowing. Like, he was just totally sort of euphoric, and it was just so nice as well. And do you know what's been really good this week, or over the last 48 hours since it happened? There's been so many random little tweets that have just struck a chord with me, where it's been people saying, like, there's been maybe, what, I don't know, 700 people with a Premier League winner's medal. You could probably name, I don't know, a third of them, if that. But there's only been 3 players that have ever scored 200 Premier League goals. You know exactly who they are. I'm just so glad that he's getting that recognition, and there's not these like weird asterisks by it. Do you know what I mean?
Some people are trying, but I think even that feels a bit forced, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, I felt it, like, listening to your pod, Jack, actually, it was good on the way home. Like, football is about moments and, like, these reflective times where you can just, like, sort of bask in Kane's glory and not worry about all that other stuff that gets lobbed at him. I mean, he's just an unbelievable footballer, and it was just absolutely magic. I think anyone who was there, and even Spurs fans who couldn't be there and watch TV, knew that was just, like, a really special day. And I got the vibe off Kane. I think we had him on a couple of times, Ben. I know you've spoken to him more, but on the post-match, a couple of times maybe?
He
just seemed a bit lighter, and that's what Ben's... I could compliment Ben Haynes all day, but Ben is so comfortable with the players, and it's a safe space. It feels like that they are opening up and saying stuff on our show that feels a bit different. And I felt Kane was like that the other day. The other good, I'll just do a tiny other bit of insight into what happened. Because what do we have for 10 minutes, Ben? Didn't we have Harry?
About 10
minutes. So he watched back his goal, and Calvin Phillips was stood off camera, just waiting for Harry. But Harry was taking ages. He was sort of 10 minutes with us. But Calvin just waited there and then just seemed to have such reverence for him when Kane went over and spoke to him. And you're like, oh yeah, he is the England captain. He is. You know, Phillips is at a team that might win the Premier League, but he's just like, not in awe.
That was kind of special, wasn't it?
It was cool, wasn't it? Yeah, it was very cool.
And also, just, I don't want to sort of go too deep on what he said, But there was the fact that Calvin Phillips is playing for Man City, who, I mean, whatever's going on at the moment with them aside, he's playing for a club that have won a lot in the last few years. And yet the way he was sort of like looking up to and talking to Harry Kane, and the way that Harry Kane was sort of talking to him as almost like a leader, kind of bigger brother, maybe almost father figure, was just...
You could see it was cool.
It's really special. Yeah. It was really quite like, oh my God. Like, I mean, we all think of him as this absolute, as Rob said on comms, one in a million sort of thing. But you really start to realise that other players think of him like that as well. It's not just us. It's not just the media. It's like his peers literally think he is ridiculous.
The boy. Did you see when Haaland was signing for City? I don't think it was him. I think it was one of his old teammates said that everyone used to make fun of him because part of what made him great was he would study Harry, like tapes of Harry Kane, the way Harry Kane finishes from different angles. And that they said, I think the nickname, or the way they used to make fun of Haaland, was it Mold?
Yeah. He was at Mold, yeah.
I think it was there. They said, have you been having extra lessons with Professor Kane, kind of thing. That's kind of what they would say to him. Magic. And I just thought it's amazing. And I think, you know, I do think in because like you were saying there, Ben, like about him being this kind of focused pro, that is what he is. And I do think that one of the things that kind of it gets me a little bit, right, is when people are kind of like, oh, you know, I mean, Kane is, he's obviously a good player, but really what makes him what he is that he's this dedicated, focused professional, that he works really hard at it and stuff. And it's like, I think actually probably it's a bit of both of those things. I'm sure he does work particularly hard, but there's always this, like, there's just this rush to sort of say, well, he's not actually the most kind of gifted footballer. And it's kind of, to me, it's like, I don't think somebody is as...
so weird.
You know, somebody doesn't do what he's done. Because James Moore was talking about this on the View from the Lane podcast the other day. He was just saying that the inevitability of Kane just scoring every single week is starting to be a bit lost on all of us because he does it so often. And we kind of forget, you know... No disrespect to them, but, you know, Soldado, Adebayor, Vincent Janssen, so many of these players, these strikers we've seen down the years, Stefan Iversen, Chris Armstrong, they're all good on their day, but nobody has had this regularity, the amount of goals he scores, the type of goals he scores, because we're seeing all these compilations these past few days. You know, he scored against Leicester when he was lying on the floor. That's not just the mark of a player that kicks a few balls later than the rest of the team after training. You know, he is a gifted footballer, and I think he deserves it.
I just don't understand why I imagine it's probably because Messi looks so effortless in everything that he does, so that we sort of treat that as the bar or the barometer, that it's like, unless you're the GOAT, then you can't be appreciated by the wider football consciousness, but it should be totally celebrated. I mean, one of the things I was thinking about the other day is that because Harry Kane's done it only with Spurs, like because he's got his record with Spurs and there's not this kind of like blurring of the lines, it's almost like I think for the longest time, you and I have spoken about this a lot, Jack, we almost feel like we have to go into bat for him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You almost have to go in and kind of like make the argument for him. But
especially in major competitions, doesn't it feel like that with England?
Yeah. But you were saying again the other day, Rob, was it like in terms of the Champions League, it's scored like 4 in 5.
Yeah, I mean, going into this season, 20 in 25 it scored.
That's the record of one of the greatest players the Champions League's ever seen. Do you know what I mean? In terms of the actual strike rate, it's unbelievable that we sort of still have to make this consistent argument that someone who's not like he, even as a kid, I remember watching him play in a game probably for Leyton Orient at Underhill against Barnet in a friendly, and I remember watching him and thinking like, wow, this kid can like strike a ball, like he can absolutely leather a ball, but he's not hugely mobile, he's not unbelievably pleasing on the eye. The level of work that he's put in to kind of like not only improve his strengths but then make himself incredibly agile, like deceptively quick, unbelievable off his weaker foot, great in the air. Like, we should be applauding that.
He's so powerful as well, isn't he? He's so powerful.
I actually can't imagine what it'd be like to try and mark him. Because what I... Why this happens, we're having to back Kane or whatever. I think it's in part because he wasn't a young phenom. Yeah. You know, like he wasn't like Rooney. So then when a player peaks at even 21 or 22 or steps up in such a dramatic way, it's like, well, he must have worked hard. And it's like, well, no, like, obviously, you look at his goal scoring record at youth level, and with even with England under-21s, I think it was very, very healthy. He was in the England under-21 for a time. But he's just developed differently. But I don't think it isn't because he's so instinctive. How can it all be, yeah, you can practice that shift and shot, you know, that thing he does where he gets it out of his feet, and you can do that in training. But so much of what he does is just ridiculous intelligence. And I watch back the City game from last year ahead of this one, the 3-2, and Kane was absurd. And, like, bullied the central defender. Second half, they put Rodri on him, and he bullied Rodri. It was just like, yeah, ridiculous. He's got it all, isn't he? Really. So
anyway, he gave the City defence in this one a horrible time. I don't know if it came across on TV, but any time a ball got sort of pumped up to him, like, I know a lot of people hate it, but he just does that thing where he just goes and leans into the defender, just makes sure that they're very aware that he's about to either bring the ball down or win the header. And you can see, I know, I'm sure we'll get on to talking about sort of Cuti Romero in a bit, but you know how Cuti Romero put in that absolute reducer on Erling Haaland?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I'm so glad.
I could never forget it.
It was so unnecessary, but it was so beautiful.
Perfection. Like, it literally, because I know when I was listening to your pod on the way home, Jack, as well, and I was so glad that you sort of brought up that point of him being like, "This is my kennel." It really felt like it really felt like he was like, "Listen, I'm the bigger boy here, mate. You just need to pipe down." But that was sort of 20 minutes in. But the thing, Harry Kane does that every game. Within 5 minutes, a ball get booted up to him, and he'll go and give a defender a bit of a nudge and just let them know they're in for a horrible afternoon. And he did it this weekend, and they just look petrified of him. It's, as a Spurs fan, like you said before, Jack, we have to not take this for granted. We're watching something ridiculous. We won't see it again in our lifetime. We just won't. So we have to get into that space where we just appreciate every minute now.
Let's look at the juxtaposition of this as well, right? We've got, and this isn't, again, particularly to, well, it kind of is, take anything away from Haaland, but this is somebody that is, you know, called a generational player already, and probably rightly so. His Champions League record is pretty obscene. The way he started life in the Premier League is pretty obscene as well. And you would look at him now and think, okay, well, if Real Madrid want to buy him now, that's £200 million to buy him. But when you see him on the pitch yesterday, and you see Harry Kane yesterday, you even see Harry Kane at, not this year, but the Etihad last season, when he absolutely ran the show. And you just think, you know, as if we're still in this place where we're having to qualify the fact that Harry Kane is very good. He's one of the greatest. There's just that poetry as well of him becoming our record goal scorer the same day he joins the 200 club in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Only the third player to do that. There can't be any doubt. There cannot be any doubt about what he's done, because he hasn't joined Manchester City and won a title with them. That doesn't make him any better a player that he's just gone to join another team that spends far more money at that point on winning titles and everything like that, which is coming back to bite them at the moment. But, you know, we don't need to go into that one. It's just, it's this fact. And it's just boring. And I think it's one of those things that, as we're sort of saying, Ben, we just have to bask in this now. We have to bask in the fact that we're witnessing history, because there's every chance. And we did say this about Jimmy Greaves, so you have to be careful, but there's every chance that for the next 100 years, 50 years, nobody's going to break this record. You'd imagine he's going to end on over 300 goals for Spurs. So
Greaves, this was 53, wasn't it? 53 years. And I think that's what I like about the stat in general, that it isn't... This is what I was going to ask him, actually, Ben, and I didn't ask him this. Was like, yeah, sometimes football is a bit... It started in 92, isn't it? It's a bit, the 200 Premier League goals, and where there are players in, who in the history of the top tier have scored like have scored more than that. But what I like about the Spurs stat is that is that's in the entirety of football. You know, yeah. Like that is actual, that is such history. Yeah, and yeah. I think, and I'm sure, you know, look at someone like Clive, who we did the commentary with, who's pre-Premier League era, but scored 49 goals in a single season for Spurs. It's like, these numbers are ridiculous, and they, it's all relative, isn't it? At the time, that was the standard, and that was the level, and da-da-da, so it's just as valid. So I think that's what I like about the stat. Could I quickly talk about Haaland, that Romero thing, quickly? Because I've seen a bit of like, oh, that put, a bit on Twitter, like about that put the frighteners into Haaland, and then he sort of disappeared. I don't really believe that, because Haaland gets smashed about, elbowed, da da da, and still scores. But I think it was a warning from Romero about dropping, trying to drop off. Because Guardiola was talking about how he wanted Haaland to evolve and become more like Kane. He was talking about this as well. And that seemed to be a bit of Haaland, I'm going to drop into the space and try and link play. And Romero went, no. Like that, don't even think about it. You try and do your normal thing, and
no of all
yeah,
time.
it was just like that's what that spoke tackle said to me in a way, about don't even think you can operate in this area of the pitch. I will come and get you and stop you, even if it means sort of booting you into the sky. You know.
Mate, I know I'm the same as you. I've sort of watched this on social over the last couple of days, just in terms of people's take on it, and I think people. I really think people overstate with Cuti Romero his discipline record. He's been sent off twice for Spurs since he got here. And in terms of his actual bookings this season in the Prem, I think it's 4 or 5. Like, it's not that was sorry before the weekend. So I think yeah. It goes on.
But I think since the World Cup he's come back with a bit extra fire, hasn't he? I mean, he could have got sent off against. What was his first game back? Villa. Who did he shoot? Was
Villa
it Coutinho?
He pushed Coutinho off the pitch.
And then Arsenal. I mean, and then that was a yellow card. And then Arsenal. He was absolutely floating with it. I felt this one's been coming actually.
At the time, we've been pushing the idea of game intelligence that he knew Coutinho was off the pitch. He just wanted to shove him. Like, he just wanted to stick one of them. Yeah.
Do you know the thing about all this is like, and I know this comes from like one of those like dodgy, toxic places because my rational brain is like. Come on, Cootie, you're such a good defender. Just try and kind of curb this a bit. You know, it's kind of the whatever it was Conte said about his heart and his head and the fire and all that type of thing. Have the fire in your head, not in your heart, or what, something like that, he said. Yeah. Something sort of poetic to
hot
it.
Hot heart.
Yeah, basically just to calm down a bit. Yeah. And you
but
kind
that
of
worked.
Like
stop
didn't
whacking
that,
people.
But, didn't that work, Jack? I felt like the when Conte said that last season, that did work.
It
like,
did for a bit, but now he's back, isn't he? It worked for a time, and you can tell Romero's just probably thought like, "Fuck that," you know. I'm going for it. And even though I have that groan about it, that like, oh, he's gonna get sent off. Please don't. I can't help but just be a bit like. Go on, you know, when you see him getting Haaland.
He waited.
Yeah, especially on Haaland as well, you know. Because he pushes people about, like he gets away with it.
Yeah, 100%.
And he ref was a nightmare, wasn't he, by the way, at the weekend?
Oh, ref had
him.
Western Super, didn't he?
Andy Maddy, mad race. Wow.
Abysmal.
Yeah.
It was a stinker, honestly. And you sort of almost felt like the ref got caught up in the occasion a bit. That he sort of because after Kane scored, the atmosphere was electric. You could sort of see that he was almost trying to not calm things down, but he was trying to sort of take the sting out of it.
I think what he was doing is not that experienced, Andy Madley. We were talking about this. He's actually sort of been bumped up the order because there's been a few retirements, like notable ones, including Mike Dean. I think he was trying to do that thing where it's a big game. I'll let a few things go that could be yellows, but are marginal. So he did that when Rico Lewis should have got booked and maybe Grealish should have got booked for stopping counter attacks. Yeah. Well, that was just oversight. I don't know what that was, but ridiculous. I think he did that. And then Bentancur did a foul that was a nailed on yellow card. So he's like, okay, well, I have to give that one because that's a proper yellow. And everyone went, you haven't given the yellows yet. And then everything was a bit of a mess. Not that he was wrong to send off Romero. I mean, this little argument about
did you
that,
mind that?
Grealish bought it though. Grealish, like the ref completely
yeah,
100%, bought on Grealish.
100%.
But Grealish, the only thing is he did, it wasn't a dive per se, he was doing what we see basically Harry Kane do all the time. It's smart. You know, we don't like it when it happens to you, but it's just leaving that leg there, you know?
See, I actually thought at the time, I was really pleased that he did it. I was like, he's just going to have to take a hit for the team here. I didn't feel, he went to get the ball. He's like, right, I've missed it. Now I've got to go right across him, sort of thing. And I was quite, I know it's not ideal. You don't want to go down to 10 men against City. But at that point of the game, I was like, look, if you're going to make a reducer like that and stop a counter attack from getting really dangerous, do it in the 87th minute when the team's just got to cling on for the stoppage time. I was kind of like, yes, he'll miss the next game. But at the time, I was like, yeah, probably the right decision. Like, genuinely, I thought, just stop.
You never know. He might not get booked for that. He's probably thinking, I'm not sliding in. I'm just stretching my leg out. I might get away with this. You know, like, you're doing a bit of quick maths in your head. But, yeah, sitting around the ref, aren't they?
The only thing is that I do agree with that people talk about is the more and more we have these conversations, the more and more it becomes a highlights package. It probably plays into referees' thinking as well. Oh, that's that Romero lad, he's dirty.
That's a really 100%. Good point. 100%.
That is a really good point. That's the joking in the moment, exactly, side. That's the bit that does bother me. But one thing I wanted to ask you two, lads, is that, because, you know, we have sort of spoken about the fact that Harry Kane's kind of greatness isn't qualified in the way that it maybe should be, because what has he won and all that type of thing. It feels, though, right now, and it's felt this way since, let's be honest, the Pochettino era, that the club is really, more than I've ever known it, that it really is teetering on the verge of something massive. And Matt Doherty himself, he said that in his sort of, his goodbye to the club and everything, just saying that it was to that point. He was just like, just wait and see, like, big things are going to happen for Spurs. And when I think about the kind of the Champions League quarterfinal against City, the North London derby last year, and this game, this kind of moment with Harry Kane and everything, it does make you realise, like, how the ground, the fan base, the players, it just feels like everything now, we're getting everything into a place whereby we just have to take that step. We just have to get that thing across. Like, FA Cup this year would be great. Champions League this year would be even better. Premier League in our near future would be kind of the dream. Does it? Because you guys are on the inside of this. Is that the sort of the noises coming out from the club? Does it feel that everybody is kind of, they are conscious of the fact that they haven't got it over the line yet, but we're so close to it. We're so close to it.
Well, I was looking at, like, even the bench yesterday. I wonder, is that the strongest? But I can't remember a stronger matchday squad the Spurs have sort of had. And I know people wanted more players in the window. Well, some did, so, you know, whatever. But I feel like the building of the squad has been pretty smart and steady, and positions are just incrementally being improved. Like, I was looking at the bench going, that is way stronger than 2 years ago. That's way stronger than 4 years ago. Because he had, like, Richarlison.
Yeah, but wouldn't you even say it's way stronger than maybe, like, 2 months ago?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and there will be injuries. You know, there will be injuries and everything. But
yesterday was the Sunday was the first time that I've seen a Spurs team that had Bentancur, Kulusevski, Romero in the team, and then had four or five options off the bench. You know, you felt as if there was the ability to do something with if things had kind of gone a little bit south and you needed to mix things up. Stellini wanted to mix things up. He could have done, and equally we saw late on Basuma come into the middle of midfield and Spurs go to a three in midfield. We haven't had that. We just need a little bit of luck. We just need people to stay fit for more than a couple of months and put a bit of a run together.
The first trophy is massive, isn't it, as well?
I mean, yeah, huge. You know. I think the FA Cup this year, I really, really think the FA Cup this year could be one that we as a fan base need to really buy into the idea of Spurs winning the FA Cup this year. Because if we get a good draw in the next round, suddenly you're in the semi-finals. You know, I'm not writing off Sheffield United, and I'm not writing off Wrexham.
Wow.
But on paper, we should beat them. Like, do you know what I mean? And then you're just a good draw away from the semi-final. And if why should we be afraid of Man City? We've got the edge on Man City. Pep Guardiola seems to just do something crazy any time he plays Spurs, because he just has got this weird sort of, like, blind spot with us. I just think the FA Cup could be that thing that just is the first domino. And you never know. Look at the way AC Milan are playing at the moment. You get through that and get a good draw in the next round of the Champions League. Suddenly, it's the thing that I thought about Chelsea when they won it. I don't know if you remember, when Chelsea won it against City, they were having a stinker of a season. They were having a really sort of ugly season. And then they just started getting through the games. And before you knew it, they were like, oh, we can win this. You know, why can't Spurs put themselves in that position, you know?
I think sometimes you can get drawn into... the Premier League table feels like such a focus, and because it also affects next season and it feels like your future. So you're looking at it and going, Spurs are outside the top four at the minute. Oh, that means no Champions League next year, da da da. And you can go so far down the line that you ignore the fact that Spurs are in two cup competitions, one which appears winnable, and the other you can dream to win. But Spurs have got to a final in recent years when the team was not at its peak. Like this is, and I think maybe moments like Kane's goal at the weekend's a good one for like a bit of what you were saying, Jack, about like sort of drawing you into the present. Like there's two trophies out there for Spurs to win now, and I think the FA Cup excitement is going to build. I think like you can see that the way people are talking about the FA Cup amongst the fan base, that with the field opening up a little bit, you know, Chelsea and Liverpool are not that good this year, but Arsenal being out as well, having the edge over City. Newcastle, there's an opportunity.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I feel that the focus, because we hadn't made the Champions League for so long, really. A lot of the focus was on that. We have to get that top four. We have to do it. And it's not. I love being in the Champions League. It's to me the best football going. But because we have kind of been there, done that, for want of a better word, I think now suddenly that appetite is like, go on, let's have the FA Cup again now. Come on, it's our trophy. It was our trophy always, and we've kind of lent it to them down the road for the past few years. So can we have it back now? Because it's, I don't know. I don't want to start talking about magic, those cliches about the FA Cup, you know. But Rob, like Ben and I worked on this series, Year of the Underdog, a few years ago, going up and down the country, going to all these kind of, you know, small grassroots stadiums and stuff, and just seeing that kind of the impact that the cup has. And wasn't it funny, Ben, like that one year how we did it across from the seventh tier, from Heybridge Swifts up to Wembley Stadium, and you just see not just the stature of the clubs grow, just the competition and everything, the buzz across every single round. And it just made you think, like, God, this is something pretty unique. You know, the fact that in theory, one of those seventh tier clubs like Heybridge Swifts could get to Wembley. You know, that is possible.
And I really want to, when you look at last year and you look at the time of the year that Spurs peaked, I really want to believe that this is going to happen again. That if we've just got the fitness levels right at the right time of the season, and we've got the squad depth right at the right time of the season, and you kind of get through this next 6 to 8 week period intact and with momentum, the business end is where it's going to be, where it's obviously going to be won and lost. But this window of time in the Premier League is always so crucial, because they're just Champions League coming back, there's so many games. I mean, I look at someone like Man United, for example, right? So someone that people might say, oh, you need to worry about them in the FA Cup, and Rob and I were talking about this yesterday. Man United have got to play Barcelona twice. I think they've got to play Liverpool, and they've got to play the League Cup final in the 3 week window around their FA Cup tie with West Ham. At some point, they're going to have to drop off in that window. They're not going to win absolutely everything. And I just think if we can get it right at the key moments this season, it just kind of, you sort of want to start, like Rob said, you want to start looking for signs, things like Harry Kane getting the record this season. Like, we've got to start buying in to that idea that this is our season, so that it becomes a thing. Just in the same way that we're talking about Romero's yellow cards becoming a thing, we've got to kind of like make it a thing, like, oh, okay, maybe it's going to happen this year. You know, try
work
like
for Argentina, you know?
100%, 100%.
Rob, just a quick one before we move on. What's his best goal for you, Harry Kane's?
I really liked the long range one against Chelsea in the 5-3, where he holds off. Is it Oscar? Oscar's like nibbling. And then he just holds him off and shoots from distance. And I think he's spoken about how that game was that he scored two, assisted one, won a penalty, which he didn't even take. I think Andros Townsend took it. That was a game, I think, where he realised his level, that he was...
I think it's where everyone did. It seems to be premium. Where everyone went from, oh, this is an academy kid having a decent, a hot streak, to, oh, actually, he's a proper player, you know?
Yeah, I think it was for him. I think he said that when his interview with Defoe on the website or something. I think he said that game was, the same for him,
How about you, Ben?
Oh, do you know, I can't. I tried to do this the other day. Do you know, Dan did his list, Dan Kilpatrick did his list for the Standard. And he scored so many different types of goal that it's like really hard to work out what you would put on that pedestal as the best one, because the curling finish against Arsenal was so good. But that was in a draw, you know, and it always feels to me like there's a little bit of an asterisk on that one because of that. So maybe the header, like to win it so late on. That was the best I've ever seen White Hart Lane as well. It was just so special. But I mean, there's so many of these. Aren't there? It's ridiculous, the list of the choice that you've got to go off, you know. What about for you? What's your one?
It's the Arsenal goal, mate. Just the mask goal, all of it.
The mask goal,
Like you say, because it's... In that tiny window, I know it didn't work out that way, but in that tiny window, he just scored against Arsenal, put us top of the table, and we were on course to win the Premier League. And he scored the best goal I've ever seen live, ever. And I've never, in my 20-plus years of going to White Hart Lane, men and boy, I've never seen it explode like that, ever. It was surreal. Yeah, it was surreal.
The crack of the... post. Yeah,
literally
he exploded,
feeling
didn't
it
he? By his standards, even he lets rip, didn't he, with that one?
And I loved it. He sent a shiver down my spine because I went to his the thing in the London Museum, his little his exhibition.
Yeah.
It's the word I was looking for. His little exhibition. Look at me. just a few World Cup golden boots in there. You know,
his little
exhibition on my
his
podcast.
Show and tell.
You know, but there, the mask is just there, and I was just like, oh.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I
want to
smash his cabinet and take it. You know,
wear it to work. Yes.
Imagine.
As soon as I finish a good edit, ripping the mask off. Hey lads, look, see.
Does the power slide on your ass? Third degree burns.
Yeah. Oh, that must. I always, whenever I see players do celebrations like that, I think that must hurt, mate. You're fooling nobody. Like that. That's painful. Why are you doing that?
Oh, yeah. You imagine 5 minutes later, once you realise what you've done, you've like. Ruptured your spine like diving on the ground like that.
Solskjaer did his cruciates.
Well.
Solskjaer do his cruciates in that Champions League final, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, what a time to do it if you're going to do it, but still.
Yeah, exactly.
And Solskjaer has won it. What a goal. Anyway, forget about them. Right, lads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I asked for some questions because I thought, you know, it's a pretty momentous time, and you know, a lot of people. I want to say, because I asked for some questions first of all, and this is kind of the main thing, is a lot of people really appreciate you two, what you do, and I think the energy that you bring to the club. And so, like I said, I did ask questions. Nigel Fox, Please, can we have more Rob and Clive cam videos for future games?
1,000%.
Exactly.
No.
Rob, do you know what, Jack? I've got a little on this. Two little stories on this. Firstly, as Rob said, he didn't know that he was on camera, and when he found out that he was on camera, you should have seen the look on his face.
Fuming.
He was like, honestly, literally, like someone siphoned all of the blood out of his body and just went sheet white.
Oh, even more pale.
Absolute panic. Yeah. And
was it the look to the one producer that you know had probably put the camera there, like, mate, you didn't tell me about that?
It was to Will, wasn't it? I think it was to Will. Poor old Will,
You just heard, I heard Rob go, Will. so good.
But you all know that moment in the professional setting, don't you? Like, the, you know, when you're out on a shoot, Ben, and somebody starts asking the talent like a rogue question, you give them like the look of like, mate, like,
stop that.
Yeah, what's going on? You know.
But the thing is, I mean, I objected. I objected to it before the Arsenal game. I didn't want it, but then everyone seemed jazzed by it. But I think hopefully it's a one-off, and that was sort of. You know, because what's going to be better than Kane and all that? And what me going in? It's Spurs 3, Bournemouth 1. Like, who?
Spurs
no
winning would. The Champions League.
Spurs, well, exactly.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Well, get me to Istanbul and we'll plug in a camera.
Again.
That's probably for the best, yeah.
But also we had, so Windy, you know, everyone knows Windy, the extra inch. Not a question, just a thank you. Really appreciate the pair of you.
He is just the loveliest guy in the world, isn't he?
It's always sweet, the quiet ones, mate. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. It's always the quiet ones. Jude Summerfield, not really a question, but never leave us, lads. So there you go.
Okay.
People are so nice.
They are, aren't they?
I filtered out all the nasty ones, Ben. Do you have any?
I'm sitting here with a handful
of
Scotch eggs, Jack.
Yeah. So. We'll get to that one. Sam Tye, everybody should know Sam Tye, at S-Tye Football, friend of the show as well, he's been on a few times. This is one for you, Rob. At the beginning of the clip, after Rob calls the goal, he leans forward and maybe writes something down. He then carries on. What did you write -mark-do?
Yeah, so I just turned my headphones down. So like I've only done a couple of games of Kive, the way my kit works is that he's on one dial, I'm on one dial, and the crowd's on one dial. And then I obviously screamed. The crowd went absolutely bananas, like it was so loud, because everyone knew the context, obviously. I give myself a bit of a fright. I turn it down and like have to just like, because it was just too loud. Like I would have done that. Do you ever watch The American Office? Did you ever see the one where Will Ferrell hosts the Dundies? And he like plugs in music and he shouts. Like you do that if everything's too loud, you shout. And I just wanted to make sure that I could hear myself properly. I turned the crowd down and just so I could make sure I didn't mess it up. So I did have just 267 like written down, because heaven forbid I got the number wrong. Oh no, you knew the number. You don't need to think about it, but you know, just that 267. I did have that in like big.
Oh my God, Rob! I'm so pleased that you said that, because for the post-match show, as Harry was walking over to us, I just looked down at my notes again one more time, just because I was just like 267, 267, 267, and I looked down at my notes and was like, 267. But you know it a million times. It's just that in that, because it's such a key moment in the club's history. I said this to Rob on the show the other day. I was like, that commentary will live with us forever. Any bit of archive that we ever use in 100 years from now, when someone finally breaks his record, it will be Rob's voice along with Clive.
One season wonder to one in a million. It's just it's iconic already.
I messed that up actually.
Get out of it. It's perfect.
No, because I remember I was trying to like formulate something, and I've done a bit of one season patter before on his goals. I was like thinking, oh, that's probably overkill. But I remember thinking, as I was saying it, one of a kind, and then one of a million, but whatever. It's fine, isn't it?
It's brilliant, mate. It's brilliant. Yeah. Don't do it to yourself, you know? It's good. It's
I know.
Fine. It's brilliant.
I know.
You know?
Yeah. It'll do.
Paul King asks, which of the players are you on first name terms with? And that's to both of you. So.
Oh, none of, I'm not, none of them really for me. It's Ben. Ben's the buddy. Ben's the buddy boy of all the.
Nah, I'm really not.
Milesy, isn't he? Milesy, actually. It's Milesy, really.
Oh, God, Milesy.
Milesy's yeah, actually just their mate. I mean,
love Milesy. And people will come back. Like, ex-players will come back. And as soon as they catch a glimpse of Milesy, they light up.
You're so happy.
Uncle Milesy.
He is like that, mate. He is like that, yeah.
I've got a great story for you about this. Gareth Bale, when he came back, Milesy was one of the first people that he saw, and he literally, like, it was like a day hadn't gone by. He was absolutely buzzed to see him, and I think that secretly, like, really touched Milesy. He's a, like, man of few words, sort of off away from N17. Like, he's very kind of perfectly just so friendly and lovely, but he's not someone that would be shouting his mouth off sort of thing. But I think that really, really touched him that Gareth came back and obviously recognised him, but just was really happy to see him straight away.
That's a legend.
The other one I'd say, that, and I always try and sort of, I could spend hours talking up Sonny, but sometimes we'll do little pre-records before the show starts. And we were doing one the other week, and the team came out to sort of just go for their little wander around the pitch. And the whole team walked out the tunnel as we were recording the little pre-record message. And then Sonny waited until we'd finished recording so he could come over and say hello and just sort of just check in. And be like,
he's as nice as everyone says, isn't it? I mean,
you can't stress it enough.
Ben, like our mutual friend Tommy, he always said to me, he was just like, you cannot understand until you're really it's in ridiculous. His presence. He's like an antidepressant. He's like an literally, angel. He lifts up every single room and every single person that he's around. And you can see all the new players straight away. Porro, Danjuma, all that. They're all gathered around Sonny, Richarlison. Everyone gathers around
Everyone's
him.
Everyone's his best mate instantly, aren't they? Like a new signing turns up and all the photos of Sonny next to whoever.
Imagine,
he does draw them in.
Imagine having
draws
that
them
effect
in.
On people.
Like, do you think I have that effect on
people? I was just saying, Jack.
You've worked with me, Ben. Like, you've seen me at 7 o'clock in the morning. And
does Jack glow?
In the Oval.
Does he glow every day?
Do you know what? Is it where the best time to catch Jack is that after we've just finished a long shoot there, we've got to do a 3-hour train ride home of us both just skulking around an M&S looking for something to eat. Like that was us at our best.
It was, especially when we were both doing the keto diet, weren't we? So we're looking like
the most
packs of pastrami and stuff. And
oh, God.
Oh dear. Nick Smith asks for Rob, what's the commentary line that you're most proud of?
I don't know, probably that on Sunday. Now, I didn't come away from the game thinking when I did it, it was particularly amazing, but I probably is that now, having watched it back. I also did Lucas Moura legend. Lucas Moura, Tottenham Hotspur legend, when he scored, and I remember coming off air and feeling a bit sick and like, oh, it's overkill. I've like gone way too big there, but actually that worked. It did work. Lucas Moura, Tottenham Hotspur legend, because it was sort of like someone can become a legend in a half of football, and he sort of did it.
Rob, can I give you another one?
Yeah.
Your Stevie Bergwijn one was unbelievably good.
Yeah, again, I came off air worried about that because I thought I basically blacked out. I think I spoke to you about this, Jack. I think on the last time I was on, I basically sort of blacked out, and then I came through to the gallery and they were all laughing at me, and I was like, "Oh my God, what have I done?" And then they played it, and I was like, "That makes no sense," but it did sort of work, and people like that one too. That was lovely. Yeah, it's sort of been a similar reaction, I suppose, to this one, to the Flying Dutchman shebang. Yeah.
So we've had Ricky at Ricky TFC, Ricky from the Fighting Cock, has asked for Ben. Supporting and working for Tottenham, how does it affect your mental health? How do you find separation? Do bad results - bad form affect your job in any way? Also, how many mini Scotch eggs can you pop up your bum? We'll do the first bit first. That's a good place to start, right?
So what was it? What was the first question? Like, how do you find doing the?
But just where do you get the separation, mate? You know, because Spurs fan, working at Spurs.
Really
yeah.
You do struggle, Ben, don't you? I mean, I see it firsthand.
I take it pretty tough. Yeah, because I don't. When we're at home, you want so badly for it to go well, and it adds on this other edge because you know that with every big win or with every good win, our fan base is like any other football fan base. But I think we can all be aware of the fact that we have a tendency to go quite big one way or the other. When things are bad, for some reason, they're a disaster with us. And then when things are good, like, all is right with the world. Maybe that's just every football team. But you just want so much for us to win. And I wanted us to win when I was just a fan, or a fan as I am now. But now I'm like, every match day, every home game, I'm just sitting there, my body's tense for the entire 90 minutes. Like the other day was just, when we got down to the, seeing 5 minutes of stoppage time come up, I almost couldn't watch it. So I do have a really, really hard time sort of separating it. And on days after we lose, one of the best things, I can sort of crawl up your ass a bit here, Jack, one of the best things on the days after we lose, I feel like I listen to your pod for therapy. I listen to it on the way home, and I'm like, by the time I get home, like, all's right with the world again, which is nice. But I find it really, really tough.
It's funny coming down, like, going to Ben, how are you? You know, like, pitch side after the game. Say, like, after a home loss to Villa or something. But Ben is such a pro. And we're not, like, happy-clappy on that show, are we, Ben? Like, if the team loses and things have been bad, we don't do this, like, try and put a massive positive swing on anything. We just sort of analyse it as best we can. But recently I did see Ben, like, rejig the phrasing of something he was going to say in real time.
Funny.
I could see the clocks, like the cogs turning in his brain and just going, how... I was, like, looking at Ben going, how are you going to word what you're about to say?
Rob, was that after we lost to Villa?
I think it was Villa, yeah. It was in real time. I just saw you sort of... cocking your head to one side as you were talking, but you did it. But we don't want to. I think that's sometimes why, like, the stuff's well received on the club channel. Like, we don't just do this, like, I know they lost, but wasn't this great and wasn't this great? Like, we've never done that really. And if you want somewhere to wallow, there are podcasts for that, aren't there? No offense, yours.
Yeah, and
which is therapeutic. You know,
In the interest of honesty, I'm going to go with five.
So you went to Tesco then, mate, after the question was asked. Yeah. Charlie Parrish asks, of the Hometown Glory podcast as well, for Rob, so there's a question for both of you here. For Rob, is there an iconic Spurs moment that you wish you could have commentated on? And for Ben, I like this one as well. Which Spurs player do you think would be the best value to go for a curry with?
I wasn't at the club for the final game at Wild Lane. I mean, that would have been... Obviously, there's, you know, if you want to go back, Gazza's free kick and UEFA Cup finals and all that jazz. But sort of, you know, that final game at Wild Lane, I watched that back and go, wow, that looked unbelievable. You know, from ceremony, you know, with all the figures from the club and everything. Probably that, I think.
Curry-wise, Paul Robinson.
Curry-wise?
He's been catching a lot of strays this week. You know that.
What did you say?
He's been catching a few strays this week.
Who has?
No way. Yeah, was Robert. He was a bit naughty on Twitter. He said he just made a joke about Harry Kane not winning any trophies. He did something. I can't remember what it was. He phrased something a bit kind of, and a lot of Spurs fans were like, "Come on, Robbo, mate, you're a bit better than that," you know. Which
that's such a shame.
Maybe he said it wrong or something, but yeah,
I don't want to take it back as well, because whenever he's coming to do N17 with us, he just sledges people.
Right, let me find it
for like an
it.
Hour.
Maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe he was just doing it in a fun way, and people have just taken it the wrong way on Twitter.
I've done sort of bits with him around. He has like these League Cup. When we won the League Cup, they get the occasionally they get the old band back together, and he just pops off shots at people, and it's hilarious. Like, it's hilarious.
He said, "Great." His tweet was verbatim: "Great result for Spurs and an incredible achievement for Harry Kane. To score so many goals in a team that's never won a trophy is outstanding." So,
if it was someone who's a takes the mick all the time, then it could just be. I don't know. It could just be clumsy. Like, it's sincerely.
I'm going to say, I think people are being a little bit overly sensitive. He's talking about how good Harry Kane is. You know, I think he's making the point that Kane has achieved this whilst not playing for Manchester City. I think that's the point he's ultimately making. And
have I missed any glaring ones just in terms of the curry?
Well, we've spoken about Sonny, haven't we, already? So we know he's all right. Son's a good guy. We get that. We know that bit.
I tell you what, Clive's good. Very good for a yarn.
He's got
stories, unbelievable.
Jack, you need to get him on here. Do you know what? We'll put Rob and I'll put in a word. Would you have him on if we send him over?
I think I could make an allowance for that, mate. Yeah, I think I'd
we'll do it over a curry.
Yeah, that could be quite. That could be some Patreon. I'll set up a Patreon just for that, mate. You know, put it behind the paywall.
Instead of buying me a coffee, buy me a booner.
Yeah, exactly. Another question. Tom Foynes, friend of the show as well. Lads, are you part of any of the new players' inductions at a club? Do they clarify with you things like pronouncing their names, or is all of that stuff done through assistants and staff? I guess, you know, are new players given the full tour? Are they introduced to yourselves and everything like that?
Well, Ben, would it be fair to say, Ben, we're actually like sort of relatively detached from the club in a way, because we're not full-time employees, and we both just come in for the games. And I know, Ben, you do extra bits, but that's sort of our relationship with it. In terms of things like pronunciations, the Premier League provide audio files of every player saying their name, or from the media days. And I think when a new player comes in, they just, because you want to get those, you know, especially for the club, you want to get those spot on. So
that really is an experience as well those days. They're
mad, aren't they?
Have you ever been to one, Jack?
No.
So they are really fascinating. The kind of the sort of Premier League days where they've got to provide things for the rights holders. They literally go and set up almost kind of like the NFL style. Everyone walk around and go.
Is it like that England day we did?
Exactly like that. Yeah. Exactly.
The different
like
stations
that.
And all that stuff.
Which is where you see all these BT Sport goal gift things they do. So you'll just be walking past, I don't know, Harry Kane just shouting, "Come on!"
Yeah. Like, those things are a bit cringe. Some of them, if you've seen them, some of them this season are just. Oof.
Yeah, side note on that one, talking about that England one, Ben, I've never been able to forget how much just like a geezer and a good bloke Ashley Young was. Like, it was the only time I'd ever met him and sort of spoken to him or been in his presence. And he was just like, I can remember all these people sort of saying to him, "How did it feel to be going to the World Cup?" And he was like, "Well, you know what, mate, I'm 35. I didn't even think I'd still be playing, and now I'm going to the World Cup. It's all right, isn't it?" And you can tell there's all these journalists hoping for like a real line, and he's just like, "Yeah, whatever, you know." Just like he was
that's brilliant.
Yeah,
he was so good.
Good bloke.
And then we spoke to Harry on that day. Do you remember? We went up to it. This is honestly, I sort of make a rule never to sort of do this, but I think we just had to make an exception. We sort of were like, "Harry, you got 5 minutes for us?" And then we were swiftly marched on because the hour had passed within which you were allowed to do interviews.
Jamie Vardy shouted, "Leave him alone, lads," didn't he? Remember, he shouted something across to us. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
piss off. Why don't you piss off? You won the Premier League. You ruined that for us. Piss off.
And then we were like, "Well, should we just have a picture together? Because we're both Spurs fans." He was like, "Yeah, all right." So we've just got this really lovely picture of the three of us just all standing together in
that
interview. But that was like, that was just more than enough for me that day. It was lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And Stuart Pearce just, not talking to you when we wanted to have a chat to him. We were like, fair enough. That's about as Stuart Pearce as I'd imagine him to be. So fair play.
Do you remember what he said? We said to him, we were like, "Look, Stuart, you're away for a long time with these England camps. Like, do you sort of ever worry about the players, like how they're going to keep themselves entertained? Like, what did you do?" He's like, "Well, I had my personality," and then just walked off.
What an answer! What an answer!
So brutal, just that is off shot.
That is extraordinary.
We're still recording. Just, amazing. He disappeared off into the sunset with his personality.
Just a quick one to close, lads, because I don't want to. I'm conscious of taking up any more of your time, but it's a really nice question from Molly Chiba. She says, sorry if I'm asking a question that's of a very different perspective to many other people, but with your current work, if you were to pass on a kind of legacy to younger people in the coming decades, what advice would you give to them?
Oh, dear Lord. Ben, do you have one?
Yeah, it's a nice question. One for me. But make sure at the end of the day, when you finish like a long day where it's absolutely sort of like battered you, whatever it is that you're doing, make sure that you finish the day and you sit down and go, I can't wait to do it all over again. Because if your job runs you into the ground where you kind of like almost don't have time to come up for air, it's got to be something you enjoy doing. Because if it isn't, it's not worth it. If it is, then it doesn't matter how much you get paid to do it, it will still be the best thing that you do.
Yeah, if, I mean, even in this industry, you end up, you know, moaning about things. I mean, me and Ben can have a good moan about stuff at the best of times.
Yeah, after Spurs lose to Villa, you mean?
yeah. But like, you know, you are eternally grateful. And I think it's almost you absolutely love it. I think it's abundantly apparent how much I like football. Certainly after Sunday, then it'll be all right, probably. Probably be all right.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.